Hello, friends, and welcome. Tonight I'm here to talk to you about a very serious public problem. I call it a fascination with the familiar. Now, what exactly do I mean by a fascination with the familiar? I'm referring to a tendency of the people to fear any change whatsoever. Rather than experience something new or different, they would rather relive the past over and over again. You heard there was a recycling craze going on out there. Well, friends, I'm here to tell you, it's a happening. You can see this habit manifested in everyday behavior. Take, for instance, the radio. Almost all adults listen to the same type of music. I don't mean rock and roll or country music or any particular genre. I mean the same type of music, old music. Whatever they heard growing up is what they like to hear all their lives. The golden oldie business keeps making gold by recycling hits from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and now even the 80s. Wake up! It's the 90s! The 60s are dead! Yet when the Beatles release an anthology of greatest hits, the public goes crazy and buys it in record numbers. Now me, I've got a problem with that. There is only one new song on either of those compilations, and yet they both break new sales records. Just how stupid can stupid be? Well, let's turn on the TV and find out. Why, surprise, surprise, it's the same old, same old. Seinfeld, Roseanne, Home Improvement. How many years will this same stuff be recycled? Answer, forever and ever. Because when it's all over, it's still not over. It goes on and on and on, like Lucy, Bewitched, Andy Griffith, Gilligan's Island. You want hell? You ain't gonna die, my friends. It's right here on Earth in front of that tube. And don't even get me started on elections. They say the public wants new blood, a new change. But just look at them. Who do they nominate? A president who's never had a job outside of government, or a senator who's been a senator longer than most our grandfathers have been grandfathers. Oh, that sounds like new blood to me. But enough of the big picture. Let's look at the little picture. How this vicious cycle affects us in our daily little lives. I know a man who's married to a wicked witch, and they just so happen to live in the West. It's true. He can't stand her, and yet he stays married to her. You probably know someone just like him, only he's a she or she's a he or whatever the combination. The point is, they should get divorced, but they never do. There's no reason to stop either of them from starting over again with someone else. That's why they invented divorce. There's no family to break up. There's no estate to divide. There's no justification for any sane person to endure that kind of psychological torture. Yet people do it routinely rather than explore new options. They probably think a bad relationship is better than no relationship at all. Yet there's 2 billion members of the opposite sex running around out there. You would think someone better could come along. Of course, the worst relationship to stay involved in isn't with another person that you don't like, my friends. It's a bad relationship with God. This planet has hundreds of different religions, and yet most people stick with the same religions of their ancestors. The same one that their parents had, regardless of whether or not they even like it. And how did their parents select this religion? Why, it was the religion of their parents, too. It goes on and on and on, all the way back to the centuries. They only learned about one religion and never dared to learn about another. They're not satisfied where they are, but it never occurs to them to go somewhere else. Perhaps they feel it's better to stick with the devil they know rather than the one they don't. If I told you, hey, you can't choose who you're going to marry. You should let your parents decide that. You'd get all self-righteous and tell me where to shove it. And yet, most people let their parents choose their religion without any resistance at all. I say a religion is like your nose. It's okay to pick your own, but don't go picking someone else's. No one should pick your religion except you. Not your parents, not your church, and not your government. Only you! If you're old enough to pick your lifelong companion, then you're old enough to pick your afterlife companion, too. Yes, it means you'll have to strike out on your own and do a little exploring. You might even sample a few different ones before you find the right one. You'll meet new people, you'll see new sights, and what's so bad about that? It's a big world out there, my friends. A whole lot of experiences to experience, and not a whole lot of time to do it. Why waste your life doing the same thing over and over again if you're not happy doing it the first time? Now, I'm not gonna stand here and try to push you into the subgenius religion by saying things like, we're the fastest growing industrial church in the last 100 years, or claim that more people choose Bob than any other short durational personal savior. That kind of hype would just be an unfair advertisement, especially coming from me. But I will state Bob's address, because everyone should know their options before making that kind of decision. Find out your options by writing Bob for information at P.O. Box 140306, Dallas, Texas. Tell him Papa Joe sent you, and you'll get an extra 10% off your already low membership fee. And if you think that's a good deal, you should ask him about eternal salvation or triple your money back. Because the solution to your problem is simple, my friends. If you're satisfied with your religion, fine. But if you're unsatisfied with your religion, if you hear a voice in the back of your mind saying, this God isn't right for me, then a better one is just one postage stamp away. Write that letter, get your slack, and praise Bob! Amen!